Accelerating your fandom, this is Flash TV Talk.
Welcome to Flash TV Talk, the fan podcast dedicated to news, reviews, and spoilers for the hit CW show, The Flash. I'm Bo.
And I'm Bell.
Bell, man, how you doing tonight?
Fantastamundo.
Yeah, man, I'm doing Flash-tastic myself. We got a great episode to talk about tonight and a lot of awesome things happening. Want to welcome everybody who showed up. We got quite the crowd right here at Mixler.com/Podastery, where we broadcast live every single Wednesday night at 8 a.m. Central Standard Time. I don't know what that is, Eastern and Pacific and all that good stuff, but I know it's after Arrow for us, so that's why we do it like this.
So for anyone who's in a time zone later than Central, sorry.
Yeah, it sucks for you guys. But hey, it's awesome for us, so we really appreciate it. But hey, that's what the podcast is for, man. That's what we're all about, you know. The live experience is fun, though. I mean, we're sitting here. We've got wonderful people in the guests, like Chris, like Lady J, like Green Claw. We also have guests from what we can only assume is the CW Network who have joined us for our live show. So we appreciate you for being here.
Yeah, got to be network executives. There's no other possibility.
No other possibility whatsoever. So,
you know, they're headhunting for talent, and, you know.
Well, we've got Gorilla Grodd right here, man.
Absolutely. As well as any other role, because I am what's the word? I have a large range when it comes to acting.
Large range of acting and very low standards. So
exactly.
CW execs.
I also voice act. I'll pose nude under the right circumstances.
If you're wearing a gorilla costume. The gorilla will pose nude, but you will actually be wearing the gorilla costume.
Yes, yes.
Yeah. I think that's for everybody's betterment. man, we got a great show planned for tonight. Of course, before we get started, I want to let you guys know about our sponsors. Talk about The Brogues. TheBrogues.com is your place to go to find an awesome weekly webcomic that focuses around Cold Bro, Weather Bro, and Mirror Bro, three failed supervillains who are living their life in mediocrity. It's an awesome webcomic that is drawn and illustrated by one Mr. Matthew Bell, written by myself, and it's a lot of fun. We've just started a new arc where Cold Bro is about to go and try to get back into the dating game, so enjoy that. You can find it again at thebrogues.com. Also, want to give a shout out to superherostuff.com. If you head over there and use the code FLASHTV, you get 10% off on your next order. That's superherostuff.com. All right, Bell, we've paid the bills. I say we go ahead and jump into it.
The Rundown.
All right. Episode 3, Things You Can't Outrun, directed by Jess Warren. Story by Allison Shapker and...
Okay, I'm going to say Grenay Godfrey.
Grenay. I like Godfrey, but Grenay? Grenay?
Or Granny just sounds...
It sounds like...
I'm pronouncing it wrong.
Granny Goodness, right?
Or Granny. Maybe Granny Goodness.
Let's go with Granny Godfrey. And Godfrey, if we're messing that up, let us know. We'll correct it on the next episode.
I do apologize. I'm bad with names.
Oh, we're terrible with names. That's why, that's why we're here. That's why they pay us nothing whatsoever. That's why we're on our own sponsor, Bell. That's exactly why, yeah.
Right. Both of our names are kind of hard to pronounce anyway, so there's that.
That's why they call us B&B. Go ahead and kick us off. What happened this episode?
All right. As the police investigate the murder of one of the city's crime families, Barry suspects that the killer may be a metahuman who can control poisonous gases. As Barry and Joe work to discover the killer's identity, Dr. Wells and his team work to retrofit the particle accelerator into a prison specifically for metahumans. This brings up the difficult feelings and memories for Dr. Snow, whose fiancée, Ronnie Raymond, was killed when the accelerator exploded. Following another murder, Barry locates the killer, Kyle Nimbus, but is unable to subdue him.
Barry discovers that Kyle does not control gases, but literally transforms his body into them. The team learns that Joe is Kyle's next target, and Barry races to Iron Heights prison in time to save Joe's life. Barry forces Kyle to overexert himself so that Barry can apprehend him without Kyle turning into mist. The team lock Kyle into their custom cell that is able to keep him from escaping. In a flashback to when the accelerator explodes, Dr. Wells is seen going into the hidden room and viewing the surveillance camera of Barry in the loftatory getting struck by lightning. So, this episode, man, I've got to say it right here and now. I have really loved every single episode we've gotten, the first two episodes that we've seen. This is by far my favorite episode.
Yeah, it was really good.
The bad really guy missed, first of all, the whole green gas thing was a thing on Gotham this week, too. Did you notice that?
You know, I didn't see, I'm actually going to watch Gotham tonight. I have to DVR. See, that's the thing, I want to talk about this right now, actually, because... Yeah. It kind of makes me sad because Tuesdays have traditionally been my gaming nights forever. But it's either been Tuesdays and Wednesdays, but now we just kind of do Tuesdays. And so as a result, I haven't been able to live tweet Flash, which is probably why you haven't seen me tweeting on the show when it comes live. So I watch it on a DVR, and yeah, so I'm watching Gotham tonight, so I can
see
it and talk about it. But in case you guys are wondering why there hasn't been live tweets for me from the episodes, it's because I have a gaming group that I, you know, with my friends, and we play stuff, so I don't want to, like, you know, bail on those guys.
No, man, that's completely fine. You got your commitments. You know, we should actually mention before we jump into really kind of our thoughts on the episode, a huge thank you to Hunter Camp from the Gotham podcast, who stepped in. We gave him the keys to our Twitter account to live tweet the episode, since neither of us were going to be able to live tweet. And man, he just did a fantastic job. So
nothing caught fire or exploded.
I know, right? You know, for the most part, everything was the same. He didn't return it with a full tank. That would have been nice, but you know. For the most part, we did okay. We really appreciate it.
The wheels were still on.
Exactly. All right, man. So jumping straight in this episode, there are so many little hints and nods and like Easter eggy goodness. Like when they're first walking out of the movie theater, did you notice what was playing?
Gosh, I know I did when I watched it last night, but I can't remember right now exactly what it was.
The Blue Devil. Now, Blue Devil is actually a hero in the DC universe.
Okay, I didn't catch that. What I was referring specifically to that I remembered was they went to the theater and it was called The Vogue. And
I remember,
like, if I was live tweeting this, you know what I would have typed?
The Rogue.
The Vogue. More like The Rogues.
Yeah, I noticed that too. That's got to be intentional, right?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
I also loved that Flash Museum.
Yeah, yeah. Dude, there's so many times. Like, if I had a dollar for every time I was like, ha ha, like, every time one of those kind of things popped up, I'd have like $7 or $8.
You know what the great thing is about this show, though?
It's awesome.
Well, I mean, yes, but it's not when you get these little Easter eggs and like Barry saying, well, it's not like I'm asking for a museum. Like, they're not just doing that just to be ha ha, nudge, nudge, wink, wink. There's a Flash Museum in the comics. It's because one day there will be a Flash Museum in this television show.
Yeah.
Like every single check they write, they intend to like cash in. I'm so excited about that.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
All right, dude, I got to tell you, vibe. I know last episode I said that, you know, I went first episode, I was stalker vibe. This time, second episode, I was starting to like him. This episode, I'm back to not liking him anymore.
Really?
Yeah.
Like, I thought he did a good job this
okay,
episode.
Okay, this
man.
Is terrible. This is going to make me sound like an old man, but I kind of don't like his whole, he needs to get a haircut and tuck his shirt down.
That's your complaint?
I don't know, man. He's got that whole, like, I don't care vibe. And that's, you know, I don't know.
I feel it, man. You know, I work for a startup company, and it's, you know, very loose and laid back, and so I like that, man. I dig that vibe.
Well, and I get it.
I dig that vibe.
I know. Yes, I get it.
Did you see what I did there?
Yeah, no, I got it. I was picking up the vibes.
Are you okay?
I get that the idea is that Caitlin is supposed to be this like strict, you know, by the book, straight laced, and then Vibe is the complete solar opposite to that. But,
solar opposite?
Well, let's say polar opposite.
There we go.
Complete polar opposite to that. But I don't know, man. I think I need both of them to kind of meet somewhere in the middle.
I kind of like the whole differences between the two. I think it adds a very unique dynamic and something that you'd actually kind of see. Like, you know, you see that kind of stuff in the workplace. You're always going to have your straight-laced people, and you're always going to have your laid-back people. And I think that's what provides an interesting dynamic between the two.
Yeah, yeah. And you know, Brentak in the chat is pointing out that, you know, Vibe definitely shows that he can have a serious moment. And we do get that payoff with the two of them stopping and talking about it. And I guess maybe that's what it is. I don't know if the idea is that the vibe we see is that he's just so in your face, not in your face, but he's just so flippant and so loosey goosey because, like, deep down he's more serious or.
Well, I feel that's how he's dealing with it.
You think so?
Like, I think he's a happy-go-lucky guy, and I think just that's the way he's dealing with this catastrophe. Because, like, he's got a huge weight on his shoulders. Like, yeah. I thought, like Brentak said, you know, he definitely showed his serious moments, and that was absolutely right. Like, you know, he had some very dramatic stuff in this episode, and I thought, like, it showed off his range, and it also showed a lot more about the character, that this is how – his happy-go-lucky attitude is how he deals with problems.
Yeah, no, I can get that. What did you think about the whole him being responsible for actually killing Firestorm?
Well, see, that's the thing. It's one of those that like that's a tough call to make, but it was the right call.
Oh yeah, no, and that's the thing. I like that. I like that. Well, for one thing, yes, you're exactly right. That was a tough call and he made it. But I kind of like the fact that it wasn't so weighted on him. Like, I mean, we get that it kind of built up to that. But in the moment, it's not like he was like, you know, trying to wait a couple of extra seconds, just hoping he would get there. I mean, he was on the dot, you know, very scientific, very methodical about it and shut the door.
Yeah, he made a promise, you know?
Yeah, yeah. So I don't know, man. I want to see, I think I want to see Vibe evolve a little bit. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and I think this episode he did exactly that.
All right. Yeah, I think you're right. I think there's fodder here, and I think we got moments, but...
He showed a side of himself that we hadn't seen before, which is, by definition, character development.
Okay, fair enough. Look, I'm going to give him more episodes, and I'll get to kind of why maybe I'm still having some issues with Vibe.
It's because you're an old man, no, and you're sitting on your porch shaking your fist at him?
It's really not that. I was joking about that earlier. Really, what it comes down to is that this show doesn't have a Felicity, and... I think that Felicity, when she shows up next week, which I know we'll talk about way later on in the episode, but I think that that's going to add something that the show desperately needs. And when she leaves, I'm going to feel like pain that she's not part of the equation here.
And I've seen several episodes of Arrow, but I'm not up to date with everything. What is it that Felicity brings to Arrow that is not present on Flash?
You'll see next week, but we'll talk about that. We'll talk about that more. So really kind of the heart of this episode really kind of revolves around this moment that they flashed back to with Ronnie, you know, being exploded, I suppose. We don't really necessarily know what happens for all intents and purposes. We know that he is becoming or will become one half of what will be Firestorm. But ultimately, as far as Team Flash goes, they believe that he's dead. And yeah. So, you know, that's kind of where the heartstrings are. And we get to see Caitlin really dealing with this and really being kind of more human than we have actually seen her on screen before.
Yeah, because she's always been really, really cold. No pun intended.
She's been a psychopath, dude.
Yeah, just like really, you know, distant and emotionally just not there. And, you know, now we have this opportunity to see that she actually, you know, she's really traumatized by this thing.
You know, we got the hint, like a little quick hint in the first episode that there could be some sort of chemistry between the two, her and Barry.
Yeah.
And honestly, after the second episode, I didn't think that was going to happen. I was like, all right, no. She's a psycho. This is not going to work out. But honestly, the scenes they had together were really touching. I thought, I could actually see a relationship of some sort, and maybe not even a full-on romantic relationship, but some kind of relationship happening between these two characters. And that's kind of what I'm talking about. I like the humanizing of the two, you know, of Vibe and Killer Frost. You know, again, they're polar opposites, but I like
spoilers.
Them to be... No, it's not. If you don't know that Caitlin becomes Killer Frost, we've mentioned that before, haven't we?
Yeah, probably.
I don't know, man.
At least in the comics, that's what happens. Yeah. So technically.
Yeah.
Yeah. Haven't spoiled anything.
Point being, though, that I like to see these two extremes to be more humanized, and I guess we got that on both ends this episode.
Yeah. Yeah. And when I first saw, you know, Barry and the Caitlin kind of thing starting to happen, at first I was worried they're going to take that, like, you know, creepy sort of, what's the term when somebody like tries to swoop in right after somebody else has broken up and
rebound.
Yeah. Like Barry's going for this rebound thing, but that was immediately
squashed.
Dude,
Barry is like anti-player. He would never, like, he wouldn't even know how to rebound.
Yeah, I know, and that's the thing. Like, that's why I thought it was great, because, like, I'm sitting there thinking, oh, God, they're not going to make Barry be this, like, rebound dude, are they? That's not Barry.
No.
And they didn't do that. Like, it was very sweet and very heartfelt, and he was genuinely concerned about her.
Yeah.
Because, like, that was the best part when, you know, they're sitting there, like, Harrison Wells is like, come on, we're going down to the particle thing, and she's all like, but, and Barry's like, hey, how about the... you know, you come with me instead and not go to this traumatic hellhole that your fiance died in.
I know.
And,
hey, we're going to go down to the place that your fiance died. Want to come with us?
Yeah, yeah.
Why would you have a problem with that?
Yeah, and I was like, dude, that's so great. And they did a very, very good job of not making, of just showing how human Barry is and how just receptive that he is to people and that he genuinely cares.
When he takes her to the Loftpretory and they kind of have those, that quick moment to moment, and she gets a chance to see his uh his world, right?
Like, watch him get pooped on by everybody in the
exactly.
police department.
And it's great too, because, you know, I didn't really think about the fact that, you know, Team Flash or Star Labs or whatever we want to call them, that they're really kind of disconnected from Barry's life, like his outside life.
Yeah.
And so, you know, here they are seeing this man dealing with, you know, becoming a superhero. And then you step into it and it's like, Barry, get me this. You never get it on time. I hate you.
Clean up your lab.
That's great.
Yeah.
So we get a chance to see Eddie's picture on Iris's phone,
mm-hmm.
which I loved, because we've all been there where you hold up the phone and be like, hey, look at this. And then somebody calls and all you see is their picture that you have.
And it's especially awesome when you have like an awkward picture of that person.
Oh, yeah.
Ring for them.
Well, you know, I mean, honestly, from the get-go, Iris is literally waving around, you know, rubbing her relationship with Eddie in Barry's face.
Well, inadvertently at first.
Well, I mean, it's happening.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
What do you think about Papa Joe actually, you know, being cool with that?
It makes perfect sense. I was going to be very angry at this show if they made it where, like, he's like, what, you're dating? I'm angry. It's like, he's a detective. Come on.
Well, not, I mean, besides that, he's a dad. I mean, like, you know, and he's not a bad dad either. So,
right. I think, you know, sure, he might be a little concerned more than anything else, because as a father, you know, your daughter's dating your partner. That could cause some problems, I could see. And that's what he says. Like, this is going to be complicated. And I think they handled it well. I don't think, you know, I'd have been kind of mad if they were like, huh, I didn't know you were dating my daughter, even though, like, I'm, you know, a really good detective on the police force and stuff like that.
Yeah, it's just not that, it's not, you know, that's not the storyline to go with one way or the other. But I do like that kind of, you know, sneaking around aspect is out of the way.
Yeah.
And who knows, maybe sometimes when the sneaking around is out of the way, the relationship starts to fall apart, because that's what was, you know, kind of the spark that was holding it together.
Well, I don't think that's the case in this one, because it was very apparent that Eddie was just done with the whole sneaky bit.
You know, what do you think about him not believing in the streak?
You know, that's kind of weird, right? It's, well, I mean, I don't know. There's all these eyewitness accounts of crazy stuff that happens, and maybe he's just too like out of touch with, I don't know, maybe, see, like, how would you not? If, I mean, there's all these reports of these things, like crazy stuff happening.
I mean, okay, so we need to, you know, make the assumption that there's been no other metahumans that we've seen thus far other than exactly what we've seen thus far, right? And from the standpoint of the, you know, the cops and kind of the world, they don't know that Weather Wizard was out there causing the tornado. They don't know that, you know, Clone High Guy was, you know, out there.
Well, right. They don't know those things, but there's still weird circumstances surrounding all of those cases. How did a tornado show up inside a bank?
You know? Oh, yeah. No, there's a lot that's going around that's without, you know, that's got people scratching their heads. But, you know, I think you have, people are going to be skeptical until they actually see things firsthand. So I do buy that he doesn't believe it. But at the same time, I just don't know how much longer Barry and team can kind of keep what's going on from the public.
Yeah, like my assumption would be, him being a detective, that he'd be more willing to accept those kind of things and kind of like try himself to figure out what's going on, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
Like I figure, as, you know, as a detective, it would be my responsibility, or not really responsibility, but I think it would pique my interest to try and look into this kind of stuff, to try, especially since he doesn't believe in it, to try to debunk it, right?
Yeah,
man. Like, that's what any skeptic would go into that situation saying, a guy running really fast, yeah, I don't know. And so they try to debunk it, right? He's just completely just doesn't care and doesn't believe in it. And like, it's kind of weird for a detective to take that attitude, in my opinion.
Yeah, no, you're not wrong. Although we don't know how good of a detective he is, since the only success that we've seen is actually as a result of Barry, which, by the way, most of their department is actually taking credit for Barry's work. And
yeah.
So that's the other factor too, right? I mean, even though the cops aren't seeing who's doing it, they're still taking credit for something that's clearly being done.
Yeah, like the two cops who were chasing the guy and then he winds up in the back of their car.
Yeah, and then, by the way, not the best move on Barry's part, right? Because, I mean, you know, who's driving the car?
Yeah, it just crashes, kills, yeah, like, you know, 15 orphans or
exactly.
Something like that.
I love the fact that even though we've got a Flash in full costume and you know, full-on power set, we're still seeing a Barry Allen who is not used to being a superhero. And so he is constantly making mistakes. And he is constant. Like, he gets out, you know, last week when he said, I'm not a warrior. And then this week he gets out there and he's making, you know, this is not a seasoned Flash who's going up against these guys. This is somebody who, like, just learned that he can run fast and he's discovering what that means. Yeah. And he's not a fighter. He will be. He's getting there. And with every single episode and every single battle, it's making him more and more, you know, the Justice League level Flash that we will all know and love. But yeah, no, he's not there yet. And this character Mist, what did you think about him?
I thought it was the thing about Mist that really made me happy, because this is all I was thinking about. This guy turns himself into Mist. And as he's going, like, as he's killing the first time we see him kill the crime family, I'm sitting there, it's like, they're going to identify this guy because there's going to be, like, his DNA inside these other people.
Good catch.
And, like, that's the first thing that I thought. I was like, that's really cool. I really hope they do this. I don't think they will, but if they do that, that would make me really happy. And they did. And I was like, sweet. So, granted, there's a lot of, like, as Hunter says, OMG science moments in this episode.
Oh, yeah.
That we'll probably talk about later. That was the one thing that actually kind of made me happy. Because, yes, there's, like, parts of this guy that are inside other people because he went into their lungs. And I'm sure, like, you know, not all of it's going to escape out, right?
Right.
And so I thought that was really cool. I liked how they did that. And I liked how they addressed it.
Yeah, no, it's good. You know, there are kind of the scientific elements that Barry is a bit more equipped from that angle to handle than most people would not. But it got me, as I was watching, I was thinking about, because you have to, I was thinking about the comparison to Arrow. And specifically when we see Oliver return from the island in the first episode, he's not a hero. He's not, you know, he is not the Green Arrow. But he is, like, fully, you know, prepped. He's fully trained. He is a fighter. He is a warrior. He can actually go out and do the street warfare. He's trained for that sort of thing. Mm-hmm. Here we see just completely the flip side of it. We've got a Barry Allen who is decked out in superhero garb with the right mindset and the right attitude. He is a hero. He is ready to be a hero, but he is not a fighter.
Yeah.
But you're exactly right. Even though the science is somewhat ridiculously crazy, there's nobody else more equipped for ridiculously crazy science than Barry Allen.
Yeah, like, what was the thing that H.G. Wells said where he's like, gas is the weakest form of matter? I was like, what are you talking about?
Well,
gas is a high energy form of matter. It's got a lot of energy in it. That's why it's a gas, because it bounces around and stuff.
Oh my god, science!
I was there was a lot of those like OMG science eye roll moments. And but it's cool though, because, like, they don't bother me in this show as much as they do in other things, because
no.
It's a superhero show.
Yeah, and
know?
You know, as we pointed out from episode one, everything that we understand about physics is going to change. Everything about physics did. So, you know, they've covered themselves.
Yeah.
But speaking of H.G. Wells, during the flashback, he did make mention of the fact that he feels like he's been waiting centuries for this moment.
Yeah, and I was like, what's up, Eobard?
Exactly.
Can
right?
you make it any more, you know?
Could it be any more obvious?
Yeah.
Man, no. Okay, so let's talk about this. The Eobard theories and thoughts are constantly going in. You know, we made that, you know, Who is Harrison Wells video months ago, and every single episode that continues to get, like, more and more hits because people are constantly, you know, seeking it out. Fortunately, we made the call back then that he was, or I made the call back then, that he was going to be, that he was going to turn into Eobard, or he would, you know, actually be Eobard undercover. I still stand by that, and that's definitely what they're pushing for. And actually, the more they push directly towards that, it makes me kind of question myself, but I still stand by it because I do think that's the direction we're going in.
Yeah, I think that's about right.
Yeah. So they have this great idea. They decide that, you know, these metahumans keep popping up, and a guy that turns into Mist is going to get past jail bars pretty quick, and so they decide to keep them in Star Labs.
Now, this brings up two things for me. First thing is, they explicitly state that everyone that they had met up until that point has died.
Yes, they did.
So that kind of confuses me.
Well, I mean, we've seen them. I mean, as you pointed out last episode, we've seen the villains that we've seen. Clyde got shot twice, and Multiplex fell off the building, and we saw a dead body on the ground.
Yeah, because the shots that hit Clyde Martin were not center mass. It didn't look like. So, yes, I could probably say that's what I was thinking. Okay, he's alive somewhere, maybe. But now they've kind of confirmed that he's not. So I'm kind of curious about some things that I'll probably talk about here in the spoiler section.
That sounds like a good place to talk about them.
Good. So stay tuned for some spoilery things.
Yes, indeed. All right. So but getting
the
back to
the second thing. they're using their own home base as this metahuman prison, which I thought was very interesting. Because I was kind of hoping what they'd do is they'd, you know, take the whole, not Blackgate.
Bell Rev.
They take the whole Bell Rev approach, and then we'll see Amanda Waller come in as the administrator of the superhero prison or something like that.
Well, but remember, a couple things here. These are not people or individuals and with power sets that are being recognized by the public. So
that is true.
Really what this is, I mean, it's kind of like that episode in South Park where Cartman goes around rallying up hippies and putting them in his basement. That's essentially what's going on here, except instead of hippies, it's metahumans. Instead of Cartman, it's the Flash. Instead of the basement part is actually pretty much spot on.
Yeah.
But honestly, this is a terrible, terrible idea. And it reminds me a lot of the graphic novel Kingdom Come. Have you ever read that?
It's been years, and it just reminds me that I kind of want to reread it.
Oh, it's a beautiful one. It was illustrated by Alex Ross. It's just this gorgeous, gorgeous graphic novel. And it takes place in an alternate future where Superman took a step back from being a superhero, and the world kind of had to adjust, and basically all of the heroes of old have retired, and it's brought up this new generation of heroes that are basically, you know, causing fights in the streets, and it's mass pandemonium. And
like Magog does something.
Yeah, all craziness. But what they end up doing is when Superman returns, not the movie, he actually rounds up all the supervillains and even some superheroes who were not willing to get kind of in line with his, you know, his modus operandi, and he puts them all into this one super prison. And what ultimately ends up happening is that super prison can't contain just this power level, and it ultimately will explode and unleash a war between supervillains and superheroes that is set to destroy the entire world. Unless other things happen, I don't want to spoil the entire graphic novel. But,
thanks, Superman.
Well, so here we have again our Superman analog here in this universe. We have the Flash now starting to round up these supervillains and put them all in this one place. And not only that, Bell, he's actually doing this without any kind of authority. There's no judge. There's no jury. No even recognition that these guys are the ones committing their crimes. This is just Barry and his buddies putting them in the basement.
Yeah, but I mean, there's definitely, I mean, it's not like they're just guesstimating that this is the guy. He admits it, and he, you know, yes, he is violating all sorts of, you know, laws by, you know, and the Constitution and all that kind of stuff by, you know, imprisoning these people without due process and like habeas corpus and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
But this is the safest place for those people. And what I'd like to see is once the metahuman thing kind of comes public and all these things happen, is that, like, you know, how are you going to put that guy on trial, right? I mean,
you could freeze him, right?
Well, then he can't stand trial because he's not fit for trial. He's frozen.
Yeah, that's a good point. Or you could put him in a glass box.
Yeah, I mean, what they'd have to do is they'd have to take that little containment box and put it in the courthouse. And yeah. So, you know, my hope is that they're eventually going to address that and say, okay, well, yeah, you know, these people have had their, you know, constitutional rights revoked.
Dude, one way or the other, this is going to blow up in their face. It's either going to blow up in their face literally, or it is going to blow up in their face once, like, as you're saying, as it becomes public that these people have done these things and can do these things. And, oh, by the way, we've just been kind of keeping them underneath the city. Like, that's going to be a problem for the public.
Yeah. When they're like, oh, where are all these people going? Oh, no, don't worry. You know that particle accelerator that exploded? Yeah, we're housing them there.
Yeah, you know. Oh, man. And I was actually kind of surprised to learn that the particle accelerator was so big. I thought we were talking about something the size of a coffee table.
Yeah, the building itself looks a whole lot smaller than the actual accelerator ring.
Yeah.
Which makes me happy, because particle accelerator rings are huge.
Okay.
We're talking about miles and miles and miles.
Gotcha.
Like the one in CERN, the Large Hadron Collider.
Right.
I'm going to pull up some stats so I don't sound ignorant here.
Honestly, you sound more knowledgeable than me, because I thought this was like kind of a made-up thing, and the idea was that, you know, that this is, like I said, about the size of a coffee table, and it does something.
No, these things are miles and miles and miles long. It is 17 miles in circumference.
Gotcha. Yeah. And I guess the one under Star Labs actually goes around in a circle?
Yeah. It's going to be a big, big circle. So you saw the walls were curved and stuff, right?
Right.
Yeah, so that's the idea, is the beam goes around that circle.
All right, getting back to it, though. Yes. You know, one thing, I know we've already kind of talked about Firestorm and Killer Frost, but There was a mention that she was talking back about how he used to say that she was, they were like ice and fire.
Yeah.
Loved it. Nice little nod there. That was a really great one. You mentioned too that Barry actually goes, he finds Mist, he inhales him in order for them to get this DNA sample. And basically they reenact the scene from Pulp Fiction.
Yeah.
Dude, and I hate needles too. I had to look away.
Well, what's funny though is like they didn't use a big enough needle to get like a really good sample. Like they should have used one of those like huge needles. Because of, like, you know, you're wanting a tissue sample, right? So you got like jab a bigger gauge needle.
Yeah. I am not a fan of needles, sir.
Yeah, it's funny. Like Cisco's like, yeah, you know, don't worry, your metabolism's super fast. You'll heal really quick. It won't hurt. And Caitlin's like, yeah, this is gonna hurt a lot.
But not as bad as the time that Barry smoked. Which, by the way, kid, cigarettes are very bad for you.
Yeah, yeah. Barry, you know, lived life on the edge in high school.
That's really funny.
It's not the time he smoked cigarettes. The time he smoked a cigarette.
But I'll tell you something, man. Even though Barry in high school was quote unquote quite the rebel, Barry as an adult is actually fairly rebellious. He has, you know, he's been a shoplifter, and in this episode, he starts to plan a prison break.
Yes.
What are we thinking about this?
Well, like I was sitting there thinking, I kind of thought about that. You know, the last couple episodes, I was like, why doesn't he just break his dad out? It's like he could do it in literally a split second.
You can't break, you can't do that. I mean, the whole superhero thing is the idea is that you're out acting outside the law anyway for the cause of justice. So I do get that from that standpoint, but still.
No, I don't think he ever would. No. I'm just saying, like, why hasn't he thought of this? And I'm so glad they addressed it, because it's one of those things where it's like, you know, he can do this thing. The fact that they're talking about it and they're bringing it to light just shows it was a great character development moment for me for Barry.
Yeah.
And I was so excited that they did that, because it shows that like he's not this just like a lot of people's complaints with Superman is that he is the big blue Boy Scout,
right?
And he's never wrong, and he never has a wrong thought in his head, and he's always perfect and righteous and just, and it's boring. But, you know, showing this side of Flash, sure, Flash is always hopeful and he's always – but, like, there's this other side where, you know, he realizes that, yes, I have these powers, but he had the Spider-Man moment. With great power comes great responsibility, right? So it's not right. It's not just for him to abuse those powers.
Yeah.
Barry, and that's just a huge character development moment that was great.
This Barry has been has gone into Spider-Man a couple of times in that regard, for sure.
Spider-Man?
Well, Peter Parker, Spider-Man, Spider-Man.
Oh, Speed. Okay. Yeah. I thought Spider-Man was some like comic book character that was obscure that I had no idea what you're talking about.
I love that when he actually had to go in there to save Papa Joe, he mentioned that, you know, he's been like figuring out how to break in and out of that prison for, what do you say, 10 years?
Since he was 11 years old.
Yeah. I mean, like that, it speaks to who Barry was prior to knowing him. And, you know, like, as you say, that this is something that's kind of been boiling over, and now he finally has the ability to do it. Something he's been dreaming of his entire, you know, most of his life.
Yeah.
Also, big moment when he does go in and he saves Papa Joe, it's interrupting a really, really epic scene where we get the two, you know, my two dads coming together and having this moment where Joe is saying, like, look, I basically apologizing.
Yeah, like that, dude, there are so many, like powerful moments in this episode, you know, like very emotional moments.
Yeah, absolutely.
And like that was definitely one of them.
Yeah. Oh man, I was interested to see Barry's dad, that when he comes to the window, just how angry he was at Joe.
Oh gosh, yeah.
And that's something that I kind of was a little bit taken back from, because I mean, obviously Joe's been caring for Barry, and I know that, you know, his father's really appreciative of that. But man, I never really thought about the fact, you know, when you see that flashback, or not even flashback, when you see the scene from the video where he's screaming at the, you know, screaming at the camera for Joe to come in and tell him that he didn't kill his wife.
Yeah.
And then, of course, you know, Joe doesn't believe that at all. Joe believes that he totally killed his wife.
Yeah. He's like, your fingerprints are all over the murder weapon. He's like, I had to stabilize the knife. I'm a doctor. He's like, Joe, come on, help me out here. And he's like, nope.
By the way, I don't know if you noticed this, Belle, but the voice of the person interrogating him, did that sound familiar to you?
I don't recall.
Okay, go back and re-listen to that, because it sounds a lot like Tom Cavanaugh, a.k.a. H.G. Wells.
Ooh.
Now, I'm not saying it is. Obviously, you know, that seems like that would be something that would be caught by Papa Joe, but the voice does sound a lot like Harrison Wells.
Yeah, I'm going to have, yeah, because like Papa Joe would definitely notice that.
I would think so, but you never know. You never know.
Yeah, you never know.
Also, in the prison where he's being held is not exactly the best prison. As you recall from last episode, there was that no touching, and then like, you know, there was total touching the rest of the entire scene.
Yeah, he's like, don't touch him. Okay, I'll let you hug him for 5 minutes.
Yeah, and then hold him back for a second when he wants to run out the door. Like, come on.
Yeah.
That doesn't work. You do get that great moment, though. So Flash comes in, saves Papa Joe, looks up at his dad, and blurs his face.
Yep.
Dude, that was awesome. So that's a great nod. The first thing that I actually jumped to was that's something that Superman actually used to do. And, you know, he's mentioned before that when people looked at his face, he would blur himself so quickly so that they wouldn't quite get a read on him. But actually, that technique dates back to the original Flash, Jay Garrick.
Mm.
Yeah. And something, because as you might recall, Jay Garrick doesn't really wear a mask. He just has the cap. And
yeah.
So the idea is that he would, you know, vibrate his face so fast that nobody would actually be able to see who he actually was.
Ah.
I know. So great, great nod. Really, really awesome use of Flash's powers in that moment. And, I mean, hey, it's Flash seeing Flash for the first time.
Yeah. Yeah, I thought that was pretty cool. It's like Flash on Flash.
And then, of course, you know, in the end, Barry saves the day. They were able to capture Mist and bring him, not necessarily to the Court of Justice, but they do bring him to...
To Justice, period.
Yeah.
Just regular Justice.
Yeah, just regular
now,
Justice.
Dude, the visual effects for the Mist?
Fan-freaking-tastic.
Fantastic, man. I thought those were great.
Yeah, that was incredible. Like, that's the thing. You know, last week's, the special effects were really good last week too, but nothing like this. They really upped the ante.
Oh yeah, yeah. And you know, it's funny. Like I heard some people complaining in the pilot that the visual effects were bad. And I was like, what are you talking about? Like the Weather Wizard stuff was awesome.
That was incredible. What were they talking about?
Yeah, I had no idea. Just like this mist, like it was very fluid and it looked great. Like I thought, I was very impressed by the visual effects this episode.
Yeah, no, me too, man. Looked awesome. I loved how he was able to, you know, either mist himself, right? And so he's still kind of, you know, he maintained like the color of his clothes and everything.
Yeah.
Or he would, when he was poisoned, he was green. And when he kind of spread out and became like fog, that was awesome. So I really, really awesome kind of color palette in the midst of his mist as well.
Yeah. Now, does anyone in the chat know? Because I don't know the answer to this. Is hydrogen cyanide, when it's a gas, is it green?
Or
is that just your classic, like, green gas is poison, that trope that's, you know, everywhere.
Well, I mean, it's a visual thing, man. You know, if it's green and it's gas, then it's bad.
Yeah, and that's funny because, you know, we're going to go to some other planets here in the future and there's going to be green gas around and we're like, don't breathe that. That's bad, when it's actually like the key to, you know, immortality or something like that.
It could be. Could be. All right, so the biggest man tears moment for me in this entire episode is when we actually see Barry sitting down with his dad. And that story about when he was growing up and he
yeah.
wasn't walking and the rest of the kids were walking, and have, especially like being here with like recently with my daughter and, you know, constantly feeling like, oh, she doesn't do this yet. And my wife was always kind of saying like, you know, she's going to get there. So like it really, I connected with this from a relative, you know, or being able to kind of relate to that fear and that mindset of a father who's dealing with that. But then he brings it home and he's like, you ran to your mom
because yeah.
you had somewhere to go. Dude, I'm in
tears.
Big time. That was.
I had so much stuff in both of my eyes.
So much sawdust. I don't know where it came from.
Yeah. And it's weird because I had a similar sort of thing when I was growing up. I didn't talk when I was a baby.
What? Seriously?
Yeah. Like when I first started talking, I started talking in complete sentences. I started talking later than normal, but when I started talking, I would speak in complete sentences.
Oh man.
As opposed to be like, you know, da ba ba, you know, baby talk or whatever. I didn't speak unless I had something to say.
Oh man, that's beautiful.
Grant Gustin though, in that scene, just knocked it out of the park. Both of them did, actually. John Wesley Shipp and Grant Gustin did excellent jobs. Grant's like, you know, teary, loses it right there at the end, and I just thought he did both of them did a very convincing job relaying those emotions.
Oh man, it was good. It was good. So overall, of course, we do end up with seeing our boy H.G. Wells with the whole watching the scene from the Loft Pretory, you know, as if it was all planned.
Dude, I'm loving these little H.G. Wells moments at the end of every episode.
Are you? Okay, good. Because I go back and forth. Like, now it comes to the point where I'm expecting them. What evil thing are we going to see H.G. do at the end of this episode?
Well, I'm not even seeing it for that because, like, it's, you know, we have these, I dare say, freak of the week kind of things going on.
I'm enjoying them.
That's
exactly what this is. We don't need to candy coat it, and we don't need to pretend it's nothing different. This is extremely freak of the week, and I have no problem with that, but that is exactly what it is. And it really is more of a successor to Smallville than any other superhero show from that aspect, because it's the whole, you know, particle accelerator explosion plus whatever you were doing at the moment of the explosion equals, you know, you and your power set, which is very much like Smallville, with wherever you were at the point of the meteor shower, whatever you were doing equals your power set.
Yeah, but the thing is, though, I'm not too... That doesn't bother me, though.
No, not in the slightest. I mean, I knew it was going to be like that.
Yeah, yeah. And the thing that's cool about it, though, is that, you know, these little H.G. Wells moment at the end kind of... the Freak of the Week story starts, the Freak of the Week story ends, and then H.G. Wells comes back and says, hey, guys, remember, there's this, like, overarching crazy thing that, like, you all want to know about, and I'm teasing everything every episode. Mm-hmm. I'm really enjoying that. Like, I'm liking... This piecemeal reveal of the overarching story.
Look, without question, he's Eobard. The real question is, what is he doing and why?
Yes, yes.
And so that's interesting. And actually, there's some fun things that we have not picked up about and that are picked up by other listeners. And we'll get to that in feedback here in just a minute. But first, man, we got a couple of news items. Any other thought about this episode before we move on?
Dare I say best so far?
Oh, I would absolutely say best so far.
Yeah, they knocked it out
of the park, without question.
News flash.
All right. Man, the Flash gets a full season order.
I don't even know why we were considering this news. Of course it got a full season order.
Look, man, it's a big deal. The fact of the matter is, it doesn't matter how good a television show is. It could see an untimely death. It's happened over and over again. I mean, gosh, Firefly... Family Guy even was killed off after only three seasons before making its you know, return
triumphant
to,
debut or not debut re-debut or something. I don't know.
Return to mediocrity. Family Guy was never quite as good as those first three seasons. But and then also, actually recently I was getting into this. This is why I mentioned it earlier and kind of squeezed it in. But I started rewatching Clone High, which was a cartoon that came out.
Oh, I love Clone High.
Clone High was so good, dude.
So good. I era Pons.
No, it was Ponzi.
Pons de Leon. He was dressed up as the Fonz or acted like the Fonz. Gosh,
dude,
that was such a great show.
Okay, quick side note. The creators of that show were also the creators of the Lego movie.
Really?
Yes. And in fact, in that scene, have you watched the Lego movie?
You know, I haven't yet.
Oh, you got to watch it. It's so good.
Oh, I know. I hear great things.
It's fantastic. But in that movie, there's a Lego Abraham Lincoln that is voiced by the same actor that played the clone of Abraham Lincoln in Clone High.
Oh, that's amazing.
Isn't that great?
That's very good.
There's been rumblings about maybe doing a Clone High movie at some point. Okay, we'll talk about that later. All right. What were we talking about?
Seriously. The full season.
So yeah, no, man, I hear what you're saying, but it is a big deal. This is a confirmation. It's good that we've got this locked down. I hear you. It's not surprising in terms of quality, but it is a good, good thing to hear.
Well, and here's the thing that's interesting to me is I always thought for hour-long TV shows that 13 episodes was usually a season, but this is a full 23.
Oh, yeah, man. That's been the way. That's been the way for quite some time now.
For like, CW shows or for all TV shows?
Well, definitely for CW shows. I mean, it's not... Okay. Yeah, I think it depends on the network from that angle, but yeah. When it comes to primetime, if it's an hour-long show, you generally are going to get a full, you know, 20-something episodes.
Cool, cool.
Also in the news for our Flash TV Talk fans, no, that's not true. Flash has fans. We've got listeners. For our Flash TV Talk listeners, we have got a prize to give away. What?
What?
Yeah. So last week we were able to give away our first prize. We mentioned back in episode one that our good friend of the show, Chad Rook, who played Weather Wizard in episode one, has autographed a comic panel of the first meeting between Grant Gustin's Flash and his Weather Wizard. And it looks really awesome. We gave away one last week, and this week we are giving away a second one. Now, as a reminder, in order to be considered for this giveaway, what you will have had to do is go onto iTunes, write us a review, and then tweet us whatever your iTunes username is. That way we can kind of verify it and all that good stuff. Now, if you've already written us a review, all you have to do is let us know what the username was, And if not, you still have one more week to do this. But let's go ahead and give a one away this week, shall we?
Let's do it.
And the winner is...
Drum roll. Oh, I get to do it now. See, I sound like a velociraptor or a predator or something.
What happened to drum, 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 drum?
I got so much flack for the drum, 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 drum.
I
but
loved I'm
gonna
it.
Do it anyway.
That was all about that.
Okay, cool.
All right. And drum. The winner. Are you done?
Drum.
Should
drum,
I just, drum. Do you want me to say this or not?
Drum.
We could always keep it, although we've already got ours. Mine's hanging up. I framed mine.
Oh, nice. I got to go to the frame shop. I actually got a lot of stuff to frame.
Yeah, it looks nice hanging up in the old studio here. All right. And the winner of this week's Chad Rook autographed comic book panel goes to...
Drum, 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 drum.
Mick Merlin, a.k.a. Yay. At ScottDC27 on Twitter. Congratulations, Scott.
Congratulations, sir.
Yeah, so this is awesome. We will be in touch with you about getting this out to your home or P.O. box or however we get that to you. But one way or the other, it is yours, sir. And don't forget, you've got one more week. So if you have not done so, head over to iTunes, write us a review, let us know on Twitter what your iTunes username is, and you will be considered for the last one of these. Do it. Do it now.
Indeed.
Hey guys, this is Chad Rook, and you are listening to Flash TV Talk.
Your thoughts, your comments, listener feedback.
All right, we got some great listener feedback this week. First of all, we want to read, you know, we mentioned before, every single episode thus far, we've been getting a great little quick recap from friend of the show and actually member of the Flash TV Talk Flash family, Woo Kim. Bell, what does Woo Kim say this week?
Hey guys, Flash gets better every week. I really love the Snow and Alan scenes together, and I think that these two performers have great chemistry together and possibly romance. Robbie Amell did great as Ronnie. I wasn't expecting to see his character so soon. I love Snow's thing about their fire and ice. Love the flashbacks to the night of the meltdown and how everyone had different perspectives on that night. Love the Pulp Fiction / Firefly objects in space scene with Barry and the needle. I'm torn if that was my favorite scene or Joe playing the part of Jonathan Kent / John Diggle when Barry goes back to the lab after he couldn't catch Nimbus once again. Jesse L. Martin definitely bringing his A-game. Love Flash making his face distort so his father wouldn't recognize him. And I think Kal-El did this in the comics as well in one version. Lastly, Nimbus. Wow. I watched a lot of genre series, as all of us fans have, and I kept thinking with the smoke effect, you couldn't have done that 10 years ago on Heroes and Smallville. And look how far we've come.
Oh, big time.
Episode rating, 5 out of 5. Can't wait for next week. Smoking hot. Felicity and Captain Colt. Thanks, you guys.
Yeah, man, I'm looking forward to that. We'll talk a little bit more about that and spoilers.
And just so, I mean, because obviously I read it and you couldn't see the words, but Woo spelled smoking, S-M-O-A-K-I-N-G.
Yeah.
So thumbs up, Woo. I love puns. I love grammatical things like that. Awesome.
Oh, we are all about puns here.
Indeed we are.
Yes, indeed. Also got an email in from Creator. Am I saying that right? Just Creator?
Yeah, I think so.
He's from Germany, so I don't know. He says, "Hi, Bo and Bell. How are you guys? I'm Creator from Germany, Berlin to be precise, and I'm enjoying your podcast since the beginning of season 0. I've decided 140 characters isn't enough to express my love for the show, so I'm emailing you. I'm writing because you seem to have missed at least one of a few hints in the pilot that are pretty big. During the flashback scene where you see the yellow blur surrounding Barry's mom, we also see a separate red blur. As I remember, you only talked about the yellow one." He's right. He also
I'll jump in later. Yeah. Okay.
He also points out, because it is connected, that now that the next one is a little bit trickier to catch, but if I don't think that I'm on my own in seeing this, when Barry is struck by lightning and falls into the shelf with the chemicals, there is a blink and you miss it red blur going to the left. So what basically these both of these red blurs he's pointing out. Could be, and I think that's probably the implication, is that Barry Allen is going, this is not just the reverse Flash that we're seeing in this moment. This is also Barry Allen. Now, this is kind of spoilery if they decide to go down this route, but in the Flashpoint storyline, Barry Allen does chase the reverse Flash back in time in an attempt to save his mother from being killed by him.
Yeah, and I thought it was really interesting, the talking about the yellow and red Flash surrounding Barry's mom. At first, when I, because, you know, you look at the Reverse Flash's outfit, it's yellow and red. And I just assumed that it's primarily yellow and we're seeing some red of the costume flashing around.
Right.
But I think creators got a point. I think, you know, it could be them fighting.
Yes.
Like super speed fighting, which I'm super excited about because breakdance fighting from Zoolander was awesome. And I think super speed fighting is not going to be nearly as goofy as breakdance fighting, but I just want to see the word super speed fighting or something.
That would be pretty cool. No, I think that I think there might be something to this. One way or the other, if they decide to do a storyline that ends up, you know, being that, they've definitely set themselves up. I was with you, Bell. I think that before, when I saw these flashes of red, especially in the Nora Allen murder scene, I was under the assumption that this was just part of, you know, kind of the red-yellow color scheme that was the Reverse Flash. But let me put it this way. We have no reason to assume that this Reverse Flash will have any red in his costume, or if so, how much red that'll be. They may decide to go on a completely different route. We might address that a little bit more in spoilers. And creator goes on, even though I happen to know about Flashpoint and Rebirth, I haven't read any of them yet. In fact, I'm going to start with Crisis on Infinite Earths right after sending this email. Well, I guess that's it for now. Tell me what you guys think. Regards, creator. Creator, man, thank you so much for your email. Wonderful thoughts.
Yeah, absolutely. We love it when you guys help us identify things that we missed, because it just helps us, like, create more cool speculations and things. So, you know, send in that feedback and, you know, keep us on our toes.
Yeah, absolutely. So really, really good stuff. You know, there's a lot of great ways to interact with us and send us all of your different thoughts and theories. You can, of course, follow us on Twitter. We're at Flash TV Talk.
And if 140 characters isn't enough to express your love for our show, feel free to email us at flash@podastery.com. That's podastery.com.
And for the latest news and daily discussions on all things Flash, be sure to follow our Facebook page, facebook.com/FlashTVTalk.
Also, be sure to check out our parent show, Panel to Screen, where this week we talk about the live-action Static Shock, along with lots of other comic book news, so be sure to give it a listen.
Yeah, absolutely. Great stuff. You know, we want to give a big shout-out to our Flash TV Talk Flash family. Talking about Mike H. Schmidt, who does our outro music. You can find more of his music at soundcloud.com/Mike H. Schmidt. And also, of course, Woo Kim, who we mentioned earlier in the program, who helps us out with our show notes every single week. We could not do that without you guys. So stick around after the outro music for spoilers on next week's episode. But if you don't want to be spoiled, don't worry. We'll be back in a flash. Spoilers this week. Episode 4, Going Rogue. Felicity Smoke is joining the Team Flash, leaving Team Arrow for an episode, and coming in to help Barry as he's dealing with the struggles of having a superhero crime-fighting team, something that Felicity is going to know a lot about.
Yeah, you know, it's one of those things where I'm sure it's a difficult transition to go from a normal life as a CSI to this covert crime-fighting league. So I'm excited to see what they're going to do.
Dude, from what we've seen in the previews, I'm really excited. Felicity brings a certain something with her, and so I'm really happy to see. I think that she's going to fit this universe so very well that it's going to be painful when she leaves. You know, I talked earlier this episode that one of my problems with Vibe is that he's not Felicity, and I think that the show needs somebody like that. And I mean, he's upbeat, which makes him a little bit more Felicity-esque. She tends to, even, you know, even though they're in the grittiest, grimiest of situations, Felicity seems to, you know, have a zinger or something that kind of adds a level of lightness to a scenario. And in this team, that's what Vibe, I think, is supposed to be, but he's just too, I don't know, not Felicity. He's too childish, perhaps.
Yeah, a little more mature.
And so that's the thing. I think that when she comes on, you're gonna see why that character is so special. And when she leaves, I think it's gonna be a painful thing.
It's gonna be one of those things where it's like, I kind of hope they have a big falling out on Arrow and she comes to join Barry.
Yeah, they're gonna put chocolate on your peanut butter, and then they're gonna scoop all the chocolate away after you got a bite of it, and then you just got peanut butter again, which is still good and healthy.
But by itself, it's just kind of like, unless you got some milk or something to drink, it's like all, you know, you're like, nah, nah, nah.
not that the Flash is supposed to be peanut butter without milk, but you know what I'm saying.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
Of course, the other big spoiler is that this is the episode where Prison Break's Wentworth Miller will be coming on board as Leonard Snart, aka Captain Cold. And from what we've seen from those previews, it looks epic, dude. I am more stoked about Captain Cold than I am about any other rogue out there.
Yeah, I'm super excited about this episode. Again, my DVR kind of screwed me and cut off like the last couple seconds of the preview, but I did get to see good old Leonard, and I'm just super excited because the dude, he looks cool. He just watching him on screen, he just looks calm, cool, and collected.
And he's freaking wearing the parka, man, and he's pulling it off.
He's got a parka, he's got the gun,
the glasses, the goggles.
I don't like the goggles, I'll be honest.
Oh, I love the goggles, man. I think that they work really, really well for this universe.
I kind of wish, and yeah, sure, it doesn't make sense to wear like those Arctic goggles that Captain Cold wears in a city that's not in the Arctic, and you don't have to worry about snow blindness. But at the same time, that's like classic Cold to me.
I'll tell you this, man. I'm not really into the cosplay thing myself, but if I was, I would totally cosplay this Captain Cold.
Yeah, I could see that.
Awesome. So I'm really stoked about it. Love the what we've seen from the Cold gun and the way that it's all coming together. This has, as much as I really loved this episode, I have a feeling it's going to be leapfrogged by this one. I think it's going to be amazing. The combination of Felicity and one of my favorite comic book villains of all time, Captain Cold, it's going to be a blast, dude.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
One last thing, since we mentioned it during the show, you know, if we've already talked about it, but the Reverse Flash, we've seen the images, and of course he is wearing yellow and black and not the traditional yellow and red,
yeah.
Which is why I think that creators' theories that we might have actually seen Barry as opposed to just the, maybe it just being the Reverse Flash, I think maybe that has some legs, considering all things considered.
So you think they're going full Flashpoint?
I think at some point they very well may. I mean, we may even get a Flashpoint style universe for, think about this, man. What if they do a Flashpoint universe for like an entire season 3 or something like that, where Barry goes back at the end of a season and, you know, like he goes to chase H.G. Wells or whoever Eobarthon is, which of course we believe is H.G. What if he ends the season finale chasing him back in time? And when we come back the next season, we end up with a Barry waking up in a universe that he doesn't recognize. And for like, perhaps even, you know, maybe half a season, but maybe even the full season, it's Barry in a Flashpoint style universe where they could get away with anything. Anything.
Dude, that'd be awesome. That would be so awesome.
Thomas freaking Wayne is Batman. Like, they could do all kinds of stuff if they went that direction in storytelling. And I got to tell you, man, this team both can and would try to do something that ambitious.
Oh yeah. And like, that's the thing is like, you know, there's stipulations saying that we won't see Bruce Wayne as Batman on TV. There ain't nothing about Thomas Wayne.
Nobody said it. Nobody said Thomas Wayne ain't Batman, that we're not going to see that on TV. That would be amazing.
And also, CW, if you're looking for a Thomas Wayne, my father's a doctor, so I am a perfect choice because I know some medical terms.
Stick to Gorilla Grodd, man. I think you'll have a little bit of a better chance at that one. All right,
yeah,
man.
I'd have to get like totally yoked and stuff, and I just don't see that happening.
All right, man. Well, that's it for this week's spoilers.
Sure it is. For more Flashtastic awesomeness, tune in next week to Flash TV Talk.
Flashtastic outro, copyright Matt SC.
A member of the Podastery Network. For more information on this and other shows, please visit podastery.com.
Is your vehicle stopping like it should? Does it squeal or grind when you brake? Don't miss out on summer brake deals at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, oh.